everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. This week, we discuss the Dead Files episode, The Watcher. It is from season 7 and is episode 7, which aired February 4th, 2017. A lot of sevens in that one.
Yeah.
Amy, do you want to tell us why you chose this episode or who recommended the episode or why we watched this episode?
Okay. All of the above. The last couple episodes we did had a spirit that was called The Watcher, and we were discussing this last time. And I know that we had an episode that we did that we called The Watcher, something, something in The Watcher. And then just like the week before, maybe, we did an episode that we also called The Watcher. Mm-hmm. And so then, and then AP said, there's also a Dead Files episode called The Watcher. And I was like, oh, well, maybe we should do that one. So that's why I chose that one.
And here we are.
And here we are. And then I was messaging with Amy today, AP, and she said, which episode are you doing? And I said, The Watcher, because of how we talked about that. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she's looking up and she goes, oh, don't get it mixed up with the other Dead Files episode called Watchers.
No.
I'm like, oh my God. But we looked into that one and it looks creepy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think you'd like that one.
Okay, good.
As a child in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, warning. We talked about, there wasn't that much. I mean, there
we
was.
Did you talk about child death?
Yes, there was a child that died in a carriage accident.
In history.
In history. And then there was some, you know.
Racist
stuff with.
Yeah, vigilante shit.
Yep.
I think that's abortion.
Oh, yep. Yep. Botched abortions
was a really big topic. So if that's sensitive for you,
yep.
Maybe skip this episode.
We didn't go into detail. We just know that somebody died from a botched abortion.
No, but we talked about it quite a fair amount, I would say. We talked about it. We didn't just it happened and then skim past it. So
yeah. Yep. I don't have much housekeeping except that I do want to mention, and by the time this is out, this will kind of be old news, but I learned today that Raymond Newsom, who is from the Spirit Mechanics, he was in the interview with us when we interviewed them. Mm-hmm. He passed away March 30th, I think. I just found out about it. And he was only 41. So I reached out to Tiffany, who is the wife of Steve, mm-hmm. the main guy from Spirit Mechanics. Mm-hmm. And I asked if she could tell me what happened. And she said, we were in disbelief when it happened too. We were working the Sacred Journey Market in Cincinnati and he had come up to help. Early Sunday morning, we got the call. He had a genetic condition and it caused his heart to finally fail. We're still in shock, but I keep telling myself he left doing what he loved, which was helping people.
Yeah.
And I will say that that's one thing about him. I did not know him that well. I mean, he's the one that I worked with to set up everything and get everybody on board and where they're supposed to be at the same time and all that. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is when the episode was done, he was always like sharing our posts and talking us up and commenting and liking everything. Yeah. He was so sweet. Helpful in that way. He was so sweet. And that makes me sad.
It's
too bad. He did a lot of good work, I think, with people. He was helping people, you know, get rid of nasty shit and stuff. So,
yep. So sad.
Yeah. All right.
Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Enjoy Amy's horrible reading.
Oh, my God. I will cut as much as I can, but I had a little trouble.
She struggled
reading my own writing.
She wrote it. AI didn't write it.
No, I didn't even run it through AI. It was all me.
Yeah.
So I have no excuse. I'm not drinking. I just, my mm-hmm. giant jug of water. That's mm-hmm. it.
Water.
It's water. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing The Watcher, and Amy is here with our overview. Take it away, Amy.
Thank you. Anybody, if you see little wisps of something coming by, because I just saw another one, it's my incense. And it's coming in front of my face.
Also, that felt very like radio show host.
Did it?
Take it away, Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Very like, tell them what they've won.
You've won an hour with us talking about the Stead Files episode.
That is a prize. That is a prize.
Yeah. You're very you're lucky person lucky out there people. Listening yeah. to this.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, we hope so. This week, we are in Paso Robles, California. It's halfway between LA and San Francisco. Our client is Ron, and he owns the Pine Street Saloon in town. It's a historic bar, so you know it has to be haunted. The paranormal activity is so bad that regulars are even staying away, and he's losing employees. The activity consists of hearing noises, seeing apparitions, and now it's getting physical. Note that client Ron isn't experiencing most of this firsthand, but he believes his customers and his employees and is taking action. Business owners and skeptics out there, be like Ron. But get your bingo cards ready because we have an "if Amy and I can't help" situation on our hands. Amy right away sees a spirit who appears like a shadow person, but it's not. But the woman has plucked her eyes out after death and made her face appear just as a skull. And she is also bent on revenge. We have what we don't see too often, and that is that the client has put up cameras and actually caught stuff on tape. Even Steve can't poke a hole in that. Amy sees another entity that swears he knows her from somewhere else. He's scary, though. Scary enough, and Amy thinks he may actually try to kill her. The employees recount their experiences, and some involve the spirits following them to their homes. Steve's archive digging has us hearing from a local reporter who tells him all about the original property owners, the brothers Blackburn. One of the brothers appointed himself sheriff, and his self-assigned job was to rid the area of natives and Mexicans. Surprising no one, we also learn that the property was a brothel in the 1800s and that conditions for the women were awful. For one, there was a bartender that moonlighted as an abortion doctor, and as you may have guessed, at least one woman lost her life under his care. There was another death on the property that Amy later attaches to someone she saw. She even gets jumped on camera by this guy, and in one of the creepier moments in this show's history, she demonstrates how he can make her move like a doll. At the reveal, Amy recommends a medium to get rid of the eyeless female, but if she doesn't go, then a demonologist is next. They also need a Reiki master to come to the property frequently and remove the residual energy. Stay tuned to find out if they did what Amy said or if the activity continues. Okay.
Oh my God, this episode legit terrified me.
Yeah. Megan messaged me. Was that Saturday?
Yeah, it was Saturday night. And
you were like, I'm traumatized. I'm terrified.
This was a really, 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 really good episode. This
it was
is
really
probably
good.
One of my favorites, it honestly. Was,
oh, really?
Uh-huh.
It was good.
I liked it. I thought. And yeah, anyways, we'll get into it. But garnered beforehand, which probably was not the best idea.
That's what I was like. Maybe if you weren't high, you wouldn't be so scared. Or is it the other way?
No. You and I both know I would still be scared if I was not gardening. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well.
But it was good.
It was a good episode. I didn't find it scary, but I rarely find them scary. I just find them cool. Mm-hmm. But
where it really started to get me was the video.
Yeah, the fact that the guy had video evidence. Yeah, and one could say that it was, you know, staged or whatever. I mean, when they show the box is turning over. Mm-hmm. You can't see the bottom of the box, so it's possible somebody was off camera pushing it. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I feel like if someone's going to go to the trouble of, you know, recording stuff that they see or whatever, that I don't know. I guess I just trust people too much, but I don't feel like they would benefit a lot from doing that.
Yeah.
And there would always be somebody that would be like, I can tell that it's that it's doctored or whatever. And you'd get in trouble and you'd be outed and then you'd look like an idiot. So I just don't think anybody would do that.
I don't either.
That,
but you know, whatever. I'm always like, I just believe everybody. They're like gullibles on the ceiling. I'm like, what?
Where?
What color? I can't see it. Maybe black light? Get the black light in here?
It's written with luminol.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so we're at this historic bar in Paso Robles, And oh God, this incense is like, it's right in my eyes. I even only did like a half a stick. But so the, yeah, get your bingo cards out because know, if Amy and I can't help, he's going to have to shut the place down.
Yeah.
That'll be on the bingo card for sure. And then we see Amy and she's coming in hot with this creepy, creepy lady that looks like a real shadow person, but she's a dead person. Mm-hmm. And then after she died, she plucked her eyes out because she doesn't want to see anymore.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't really get that.
I don't either.
Okay. I mean, I get that she made her face look like a skull to scare Amy or whoever sees her, but I don't get why she would, why plucking out her ghost eyes would make her not see anymore. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway.
I didn't understand that whole thing either.
I don't know. Anyway, and she's bent on revenge, that lady. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Ron explains all the stuff that has happened and Steve says like, oh, it sounds like this is stuff that's happening to other people. And he's like, well, I've seen a few things. So he once saw a shot glass go from one spot to another. And then at one point he had a jar that literally went over the top of some wine glasses and then went to the ground.
Bingo card two. I would shit my pants. Like,
yep.
And he keeps coming back? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Right. That would be the last time Megan was in that bar.
I was texting with AP earlier, and she asked me which episode we were doing. And I told her which one, and I said Megan was really scared. She said she was traumatized. And she goes, let me guess, was there a Megan-shaped hole in the wall?
There almost was, like, yeah.
Pretty much. I bet there would be.
There would be. It was terrible. It was terrible. This episode really got me. It was very scary.
It was good.
Cool.
It was really cool.
I actually really liked Ron.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. I liked everybody.
Yeah.
I thought the...
Which is weird for us. Usually there's somebody, at least we don't. But no, I thought everybody in this episode was really genuine.
Right. Well, I loved that even though he hadn't seen, like he was really truly, I felt really truly worried about his employees and his customers, his regulars especially, even though he didn't experience super scary things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the glass, you know, that would send Megan running. I don't know if I would just imagine or come up with some reason for it so that I wouldn't be scared, or I don't know. I feel like I'd make up an excuse for it, even if I didn't really believe that what the excuse I made up was real, you know, not scare myself or to unscare myself, whatever. Mm-hmm. So then we see Amy. She's talking more about this woman and she said her voice sounds like death. If you hear it, she's coming for you. You get that cold all the way down, like from the neck all the way down. And then she said she follows somebody home and has tried to harm him in their homes on several occasions.
Which means she's pretty powerful and she's not tied to that location.
Yes, yes. And that's...
Which is scary.
That's when it gets very scary. That I wonder... I know that when they talk to the employees, there's one employee at least that says that something happened in their home too. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how often that's happened and like they haven't even said anything to anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Or they've said something and they've edited out or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's some of that too.
Yeah.
Okay. So
what? I'm just laughing at myself because we're in the storage room and Steve's like, so why'd you bring me here? And my first thought was like, Steve, and I know he's like prompting him, you know, I know it's not like Steve just doing it, but I wanted to be like, well, Steve, honestly, nothing's happening here. I just had it built and I really like it. And I just want to show it off to the viewers. So I handpicked the wood here. So I installed it myself. I really like it's just, and again, I know it's not Steve. I know that, you know, he's prompting them, but I'm like, obviously something happened in here, Steve, or he wouldn't have brought you in here. So
yeah.
It's just like those questions make me laugh.
I know.
And smart-ass me, if he was interviewing me, I'd probably say something like that.
Yeah. Well, don't you love the decor?
Yeah. I This was, I did it myself. I fucking looked on Etsy.
I'm super
I looked
proud.
On TikTok. I got a lot of inspo and I DIY'd this. This right here is from the Dollar Tree, Steve. And I did that. You don't even appreciate it. And he'd be like,
maybe he would appreciate it.
I don't think so.
No.
He doesn't strike me as the decor appreciating kind of person.
No, he probably doesn't really give a shit about that.
Probably not. Yeah.
I do want to mention that we've gotten a little bit of backlash for roasting Steve a little. I mean, I feel like we kind of roast everybody, but
except Amy, because she's perfect.
I mean, that's kind of what we do. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about the show and we make fun of the silly things. And if anybody watching, listening has ever watched Riff Tracks, mm-hmm. you know, something funny happens on screen and the people make a joke about it. That's what mm-hmm. we're doing. We're not out there to like say this is shit or anything mm-hmm. like that. Obviously, we love the show. We watch it every single week and talk about it every single week. Mm-hmm. And we've done 140 some. Well, not 140 recaps yet, but.
But I mean, 140 episodes that are usually tied to the show in some right. way, whether it's about the show, whether it's interviewing clients from the show, whether it's interviewing, you know, people who've worked with the show, like mechanics or, mm-hmm. you know, it's usually tied to the show. So we do. I mean, it's not that we hate Steve. It's just that we got to give him shit.
Yeah, we got to give him shit.
Yeah.
So, Steve, if you're listening, and I know you probably are, you're probably our biggest fan.
Number one.
Just know that, you know, we're just giving you shit. Show wouldn't be the same without you.
It wouldn't. And honestly, like, especially in the beginning, he is so good with Amy, with the clients.
Yeah, he's really good with the kids. Very empathetic,
very good with the kids. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was a detective for, you know, how many years? He's doing something right. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
We just got to make fun of him.
Yeah. So that's that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
in the storage room.
We're in the storage room. Oh, and this is where Ron, that is client, explains that a couple of cases of beer just fell off the stack of boxes. And Megan, that she made a note in that she was watching this at night.
And I said, what the fuck, in all capital letters, because it is, like, there's nothing else. It's like your typical, like, bar storeroom. Mm-hmm, like, you have, mm-hmm. you know, drinks and boxes of stuff stacked and boxes of beer. And then as people are walking away, they just fall.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I would say it's like a slow fall.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like abrupt.
It wasn't like someone kicked it.
No, Steve asked if there was an earthquake, which is a good question, but nothing mm-hmm. else in the storeroom moved.
Right. And the guy said, no, everything would have been on the floor.
It was right after people had, like, seconds after somebody had walked out of frame. Mm-hmm. So I feel mm-hmm. like people would have run back in frame to check stuff. So
yeah,
it was very eerie.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, it was a big enough box that somebody walking by it, creating a breeze, wouldn't have knocked it over. It was a big box of beer, I think.
Yes. Or and like how, you heavy. Know, sometimes when you walk in old buildings, it'll things, move and stuff shakes. This was not something.
The rest of the things were not shaking in that room.
Like Amy said, this was a big box. I mean, it was, I would guess probably like a 24 pack of beer.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah.
So maybe let those cans rest a little bit before you open them. But yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, we could try and debunk it. We weren't there. We haven't seen the video in, you know, real life. We just saw he showed it on a tablet on the screen mm-hmm. for us to see. Mm-hmm. So, but I watched it a few times. And I don't know. Looked real to me. But again, what do I know? Ron also talks about how they had an employee back there and she saw there was an 8 to 10 inch knife laying on a tray. And he said it went like that. I think it went flying mm-hmm. and it missed her, just barely missed her.
Oh my God.
And that we just talked about this. Was that in the last week?
Yes.
Last week episode that we were talking about something creepy that had gone flying. And one of us brought up the one episode that I don't even remember which one it was. It was a long time ago mm-hmm. where a woman was in the kitchen talking to Steve and she was talking about how this knife went flying and landed like tip down right in mm-hmm. front of her on the counter.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about that, and I'm like, oh my God, no more. Are there, there's more flying knives in this one.
And I'm like, did we manifest this by like how much we are talking about it?
We might have.
Maybe. And then Steve's like, she could have seriously gotten hurt.
Yep. That old chestnut. So that'll be on the bingo card,
yes,
too.
Yes, that'll
could,
be on the
could have seriously
card.
Gotten hurt.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. Remember, was it a couple, maybe two ago, where every time anybody said anything to Steve, he said, okay, anything else?
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, this week is.
All right, so.
All right, so. Mm-hmm. All right, so. So that'll be on the bingo card.
Yeah, probably. Bingo card. Yep.
Ron talks about how somebody saw a something hanging, like a mannequin or a person hanging from the ceiling.
Nope.
Which will come into play in a little bit.
That's where Megan would be gone again. Bye-bye, Megan. She is gone again. Where'd Megan go? Oh, she's gone again.
Oh, there's that Megan-shaped hole in the wall again.
There it is again. Holy shit, that's the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one where this there was a couple that came up to see the architecture. Architecture or decor, I don't remember, and I'm not at that spot exactly.
I think decor.
Okay. And when they come back down, the woman is like white as a sheet, and she and he asks what's wrong, and she's like, well, first of all, he says, what did you guys do up there? And I'm thinking, well, it's none of your business, Ron.
Nosy, Ron. Maybe they had a quickie in the corner. You don't know their life.
That's right. But I'm glad they didn't, because everything was on camera.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So she's walking through the room, and you can see her like flip around real quick and touch her butt. And she when Ron says, what happened up there? She said, it grabbed my butt. It grabbed my butt.
Yeah.
And then you can see that on the video they show.
It is very, It's like she's walking and then she kind of turns around and like does like this in front of her butt. Like,
yeah, she kind of waves it away
like she felt something grab it.
Yeah.
Like the way you would if like a tree branch, you were walking and a tree branch hit your butt, you'd like swat it away. That's what she did.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a tree branch there.
No.
Because they were just in an attic. No. They were upstairs.
Yeah, they were just like in a hallway.
It was like a hallway.
Yeah, it was kind of you know, when you go up the top of the stairs and there's like a little
landing.
Resting spot. And then it goes out to all the bedrooms. Mm-hmm. That's where they were. So Steve asks, if Amy tells you should leave, would you leave? And he's like, well, it's been in my family for 45 years. I really don't want to get rid of it. It was his mom's property. She worked there for many years and kept it. And so he says, I'll do whatever it takes. I want to get rid of it. I'll do whatever it takes.
But like, what if whatever it takes means you have to leave?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Then we meet former employee Kim. And she worked there
for
about 7 years.
Her.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. And she said the activity had become too direct and violent. So she felt like for her safety, she had to go. And so then she talks about some of her experiences. She says some of the customers refuse to come back. They're so scared they won't even return to the saloon. And this is the part that at first I was like making up excuses for it, like trying to debunk it. And then I'm like, okay, I think I misheard that when she first told it. And now I am a little freaked out.
Yes.
Yeah. So she says, we have a vacuum upstairs that was moving up here in the hallway, but the electrical cord was wrapped all the way around. It was moving freely as if somebody was vacuuming. And I thought that she meant like, oh, I went upstairs and it was sitting in the middle of the hallway when I know I put it away somewhere else. You know, I didn't realize she actually witnessed it moving. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she said that the cord was wrapped around, because that way we know it wasn't somebody pulling it from a room and trying just to freak her out or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think they got cameras.
No.
I mean, I don't think they had cameras up there at the time. So I don't think they caught that. But yikes.
Can you imagine walking up the stairs and the way that she made it seem, she said it looked like it was moving freely as if someone was vacuuming.
Yeah.
So to me, that means that it's like going back and forth because that's how you vacuum.
Yep.
And the pushing it, okay, like we could maybe explain that away. But if it was coming back.
Yeah, it was going both directions.
Can you imagine you walk upstairs and you see a fucking vacuum just like going, I fuck that shit.
Yeah, that would be very scary.
I don't even know. I don't even have a reaction for that because I've already shit my pants. There's already a Megan shaped hole in the wall. I'm out of options.
There's nothing
I'm out
left.
Of bottle. There's
no. There's nothing.
I left. Would just die right there.
Yeah. Well, and Kim says that she always feels like she's being watched up there, and she thinks that if she's being up there, that she is challenging or welcoming something to happen to her.
That's fair.
That is fair. I was thinking she needs to talk to our friend Leah, the shaman.
Yes, she does.
Who is very good at explaining like how to do a level, or not a level, like not even a spell, but like a protection. Mm-hmm. You can do a protection meditation or chant or whatever around you to protect yourself for things like that.
Yes. Goodbye. Good fucking bye. No wonder she quit. I would have quit too.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have. I think I might have wanted
to. You would not have, no.
I would have been like, cool, I can't wait to go back tomorrow. Unless I really felt like there was something like was going to hurt me in some way.
I feel like, though, Kim seems to be similar to you in her belief system.
Yeah, maybe.
So I feel like if she was afraid, that's pretty.
Yeah.
And that's pretty intense.
And then I probably would have been too, yeah. Yeah, Amy's up there and she's, they did this. The last episode we did was an earlier one, season one. This is season
seven.
That's right. Episode seven, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is later, but they still were doing the spooky background music or background sound effects. So like Amy says that she hears somebody saying, I know you know me. And then you hear this spooky background voice going, I know you know me.
Yeah.
It was really creepy.
She was so creepy in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very. And it wasn't her fault, but oh my God. I had to pause it for a minute when I was watching it. Throw TikTok a bit.
Yeah. You said that you wanted to watch some My Little Ponies.
Yes, I sure did. I think I watched Archer after that.
Oh, okay.
Classic. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So then Steve goes and talks to all the employees and they all talk about their different things. They've seen apparitions. Mm-hmm. They all seem to have weird stories. None of these employees or we don't even know which is an employee, which is a customer. They just show these people and they all say their one little one line. Objects are being thrown.
Yep.
But then one person says, once I noticed the activity here, things started happening in my home as well. No, thank you.
Nope.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Mm-mm. That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
That's
too.
A big old fucking no.
Yeah. Another apparition was looking right at him or her. So then we see Amy again. She's going up to one of the drunk rooms, I called them, the bedrooms that were upstairs that we now know was part of a brothel.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees this man who knows everything. He can hurt you and control you, and you can't escape from him. You can't hide. It's like he owns you.
Good. I don't like it. That's a big no. I don't like it.
I don't like that either. And she says, the living don't stand a chance in here. They don't fucking stand a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're at segment two, Digging True.
Digging Through the Archives.
So Steve is reaching out to local journalists, cops, genealogists.
Not gynecologists.
Could he use a gynecologist in this episode? Like, for real.
Yeah.
In that brothel.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So he is now speaking to a local reporter named Peggy Kelly. And she has purple hair and a really pretty scarf. I just had to note that because I thought she was cool.
Worth noting.
Yeah.
It is worth noting.
It is worth noting.
I support that.
Yeah. I mean, we always make a note when like Amy has cool hair or cool nails or whatever.
Yes, so. Which this episode she had really cool nails.
She did. They were like two-toned. If I remember right, the tips were, it was almost like a French manicure, but the tips were dark.
Uh-huh.
Like they were not as opposed to like French manicures where it's white.
Yeah,
on the end.
White, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman talks about the original owners, who were brothers. Yep. Daniel and... I forgot the other guy.
James.
James and Daniel, thank you. James and Daniel Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Blackburn. And In 1857, they bought 2,600 acres of what became Paso Robles, and they split it equally between the two of them. And then Daniel lived on the part where now the Pine Street Saloon is.
Yes.
And Daniel was the dominant brother. Now, this is interesting. I did some research on these guys, and I found a little bit more. But
okay.
So Daniel, he's called the dominant brother, an ambitious man.
Mm-hmm.
And
that usually means he was an asshole.
Usually, yeah. And I don't.
But men are ambitious and women are bitches.
That's right. I was like kind of anti these guys when Peggy is talking about them. But then I read some stuff later. Either it was whitewashed or, and she's right, or she maybe just, maybe she knows more. Obviously, she knows more than what she told the Dead Files or what made it to the TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, she mentions that he appointed himself sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, how does that work exactly?
And I'm like, I feel like this is how I pictured it going down. Okay, it's, you know, 1800s. They're all sitting around a table, him and his buddies, and they're just drinking and they're just bitching about how the fucking crime is so bad. There's crime everywhere and you leave it, you open your door and you're fucking shot at. They're like, someone needs to do something. And then there's like a pause and they're all drunk. And Daniel stands up and goes, by God, I'll do it. I'm sheriff of this here town. And that's how it happens. I feel.
It could be. Well, he did have a vigilante group that he directed.
Mm-hmm.
And their job or they were charged with or charged themselves with. Yeah. Removing Native Americans and Mexicans from the property.
Great.
And very sadly, a lot of people were killed by this vigilante group.
That's weird.
That's what she says. And then Peggy talks about how he married a woman named Cecilia Dunn. And this is her later in life, of course. And she shows a picture. And all I can think of is she had to make sure that we know that he didn't marry this woman that looks like she's in her 60s.
Because
like, who'd marry that old bat?
Who would?
Right. Yeah. But anyway,
let her out of the house.
Yeah.
Around and going, it's all right, she's 60. She looks like that because she's 60. She didn't look that way when I married her. I could have gotten anybody. She was hot.
She was hot. Trust
me. She's 60.
We don't have pictures because it was too long ago. But
and she's too ugly for pictures in her 60s. But
anyway, yeah, this is a sad
story.
Trigger
warning.
Yeah. They had three children at the time. They ended up having a lot more. She was in a carriage with three children, and something spooked a horse, and their one-year-old daughter, Jenny, was thrown out of the carriage. A soapbox flew out of the carriage and struck her in the head, and it killed her instantly.
Yeah, and she's one.
1 year old. Poor young baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Steve says that's pretty tragic, and I wanted to make fun of him a little bit for overstating the truth.
Yeah.
But I know that I think he's trying to just show empathy, like, oh my God, that's horrible, you know.
I think he is. I mean, he is an empathetic person.
Yeah,
I feel like you couldn't work in homicide and not be a little empathetic,
right? Well, you have to be able to
compartmentalize,
sense people, though. You have to be good. Like, he will know if someone's lying to him, which is where I wouldn't. I'm like, I'll believe almost anybody. I'd be a terrible cop.
That's why I'd be a bad cop.
Yeah,
cop.
I'd be a terrible cop because I would just be like, oh, you didn't do it? Okay. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, you're holding this for your friends? Wow. You are a nice friend. Go on your way and bring those drugs to your friends. I'm sure they're waiting for them. A pound of Coke? They are probably tweaking right now. You better step. You know what? I'm going to guide you and I'm going to use my sirens.
I'll drop you off.
And we'll get you there as soon as we can. You know what? The world needs more friends like you.
That's right. All right. I don't think I'd believe a guy saying that, but, you know, I used to watch First 48, and when they take the perp into the interrogation room and they're interrogating him, and the guy is like, you know, crying and whatever, and I swear to God, I don't know. I haven't seen him in 2 days or whatever. I believe him. And then the cop comes out of the room and he's like, he's lying. And I'm like, how do you know that? And then, of course, the guy falls asleep while they're out talking about him. And so then we know that that he did it, because that's what happens. They go to sleep because they're like, oh, well, I'm already busted. I guess I can relax now.
Yeah. Or they're like, they totally bought that. I can drop the act for now until they come in.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah. Either way, I got to catch up. Look at these bags. I got to get these bags out. I got to take a nap. It's killing people's hard work. It is draining.
I remember one episode. I'm getting really off on that tangent here. But I remember one episode I watched of First 48. And it was a woman that they were interrogating. And it was about a man, I believe, that had been murdered. And she was telling him, you know, oh, yeah, he's my best friend. I love him. I you know, I wouldn't do anything to hurt him. Da, 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 da. And the cop goes, when's the last time you saw him? And she goes, probably the night I killed him. Yeah. I'm like, oops. You didn't mean to say that, did you? I don't know if she didn't. I think she realized she was. The lies weren't holding up.
Yeah.
And so she just said it, I think. I think that's the way that one went. But
probably, God, was it the night I stabbed him? I mean, it had to have been.
It couldn't have been.
And that was, I'm so bad with dates. Could have been like, I think maybe Tuesday? What's the time of death? Was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday.
When was he found?
Because Wednesday was bingo night and he was supposed to come, but he couldn't because he was dead.
Obviously, he had other plans.
It was in my trunk, but you know, I mean, he was there in spirit.
Yeah.
I won a bingo that night, actually. I think it was him. He helped me.
Oh my God.
The cops just like, I don't know.
They were like, did I just hear what I think I just heard?
Wait, you say kill with a K? Like, is that some hip slang? I don't know. No. She's like, no, he's dead.
He's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, off topic.
That's all right.
You're welcome, everyone.
I can cut all this and put it. I'll leave it in. So, more on Daniel Blackburn and family. So Daniel married Cecilia, the old bag,
900 years old,
in a double wedding with his then partner, Drury James. Drury. I always have trouble saying that name.
Drury name.
U-R-Y. Anyway, Daniel married Cecilia at the same time. His partner, I assume that means business partner.
I would assume.
Drury James married Cecilia's sister, Mary.
Oh, Cecilia.
So Cecilia and Daniel had 12 children.
Ugh, that's so many children.
That's a lot of children. She was active in social affairs. This is from an article I wrote, which I will link in the show notes.
You read, not wrote.
I did not write it. I am reading it. That's
you
right.
You were reading it.
Uh-huh.
Words are hard tonight.
Anyway. I know. Picked a good night to record, didn't I? Mrs. Blackburn was active in social affairs and her generosity paralleled that of her husband. Together, they donated land for the park, schools and churches. And I'm like,
thank God she was generous because she was not a looker. So she had to have something.
It's a joke, you guys. She's not a bad looking lady. I only made a joke because that woman said this is obviously an older picture of her.
Obviously,
he didn't marry that old bag.
I'm sure she was a wonderful human being.
I'm sure she was.
Beautiful, a wonderful mother, a good parent.
Well, she's 12 children for God's sake.
That's so many children.
Bless her.
Bless her vagina.
Yeah.
No, she had to just walk and pee all the time.
This says that in 1858, Daniel Blackburn's name was one of the 148 persons who signed the vigilante pledge for the, quote, repression and punishment of crime by all means whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's reminding me a little bit of what's going on today.
Yes.
In the world.
I can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So then, Mr. Castro was legally the sheriff of San Luis Obispo. This is back to the
who's
article
Mr.
Now.
Castro?
I don't know. Just some the sheriff.
I thought I missed somebody's name, but
this is just a clip from that article, and I didn't clip the whole thing, but so. So-and-so, whoever, was legally the sheriff of this county, but then Blackburn was appointed sheriff of this committee, which had full authority. It says many desperados were arrested, and the infamous Jack Powers was discouraged from operating in this territory. I have no idea who that is. I didn't have time to look him up. Mm-mm. And then they end the article with few is less than five, isn't it? I swear to God, I have not had a drop to drink.
That is a very five men five. Have done what he did. He is one of
one
six.
Of five. Six. Okay, let me try that again. Few men have done more in a lifetime than Daniel Blackburn to help build a thriving community. And so that makes it sound like he's this great, amazing guy. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the you know, reporter makes it sound like he was kind of a shit who was taking out people.
Who writes histories?
Yeah, I
the
know.
Winners.
I know. I mean, but she's telling history and she's kind of, it sounds like she's talking the other side.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I saw another article about his brother James, which I will also link in the show notes. And in one part, it says the Daniel Blackburn family moved to the ranch and resided there for 16 years with James Blackburn, mm-hmm. quote, the kind, loving bachelor as member of the family. Mm-hmm. And I just noted that that probably means he was gay.
He was probably
it's usually
gay.
What they mean when they when they say something special.
But even so, I feel like he would have at least taken a wife to keep up the pretense.
Yeah, he might have.
So the yeah.
I mean, he didn't. But I mean, he, obviously, at least at the time that the 16 years they lived together. But,
yeah.
But yeah, he could have. Maybe he just didn't want
or
to.
Or maybe he took mistresses. Or maybe he was gay. Maybe. Either way, it's none of our business.
That's right. No, beeswax. They do talk about Daniel Blackburn's health was bad and he passed away in 1901. But then there were legal issues with he left all of his property to his wife. Mm-hmm. Right. And so
that
then the
bag.
Kids, that whole bag. And then the kids sued mom for for part of the for their
Which,
portion
like,
or whatever.
Couldn't they just wait till she kicks the bucket?
I'm I know.
Sure they're I mean, he was 85.
Yeah, she was probably pretty old.
She too. Was probably close to it.
Yeah.
You know, that's adjusted for inflation. She was, that means they were like 120 years old in today's age.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know. But I can't imagine suing my mother.
No.
Like, that's really horrific.
No.
So they were either really bad kids or she was a bad mom.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
I was really confused by the lady's story versus the article that they showed.
Yeah.
It really did. It sounded like there were three people that sued the mom, not three sons. But the amount of money that the property was worth and what they were suing for was $200,000 at the time.
That's a lot of money, though.
Adjusted for inflation is almost $7.5 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
That is a lot.
So
that is a lot.
That is, as the lady said, the end of the saga of the Blackburns.
Now, I will say it's good to know that the greed is, you know, hasn't changed in hundreds of years.
Right.
I mean, look what happened when Prince died. There was that whole saga over
God,
his stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of money. Nobody will be fighting over my shit. I don't have any siblings or inherited. Or
he's fighting like, it's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine.
I don't want that debt.
I don't want that. She couldn't even speak right. She couldn't even read.
I'm reading it and it's just not translating from my eyeballs to through my brain, out my mouth.
It's a Monday night.
Yeah, it is. So then Amy is talking about this creepy guy who feels like she said he feels like ownership. And then she said something about a horse accident, which, as we know, that horse got spooked and that's what killed the little girl. This said it killed the rider, but they were in a carriage. So maybe it's a different story altogether.
Or it could have. I mean, there could have been other deaths, too, that they only talked about Jenny. Maybe there was like the driver of the carriage or, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how carriages work, but.
Well, there's usually a person up in the front going.
The driver. Giddy up.
The driver.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yep. So this guy can hurt you and control you. And he said there's something about a code of silence, which I don't believe ever comes up again.
I don't like that.
So then Denman talks about how the top floor, second floor, was a brothel. And Steve's going to meet with Sky Ravi. They never said her last name, so I don't know if that's how you say her last name. Ravi.
I would
Ravi?
Almost say Ravi. Could be Ravi. Looks like wavy.
And if you put a G in front of it, it'd be gravy. So yeah, maybe it is Ravi.
Over some nice potatoes. Mm. Yum.
We talked Mashed. About potatoes in the last two episodes.
That's because they're the best food in the world.
We do love a good potato.
Love a good tater. And I'm like, the conditions were horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what? A brothel what? Condition in the 1860s was terrible for women?
Yeah.
Revolutionary.
Yeah.
And exactly. I wrote, what? No, like that spoon.
Oh yeah.
What was his
what?
Name?
What? No.
Sporky?
Sporky? Was that it?
What?
I don't know. It's a, it was
no.
a...
It's from Toy Story 3. And he's pretend like all yeah. he hears is the mom. And she, whenever she's on the phone, that's what she's like, what? No.
Because she's talking to her friend and they're
she's
gossiping.
She's talking to her friends about the gossip. Yeah. And so that's, I just wrote, what?
What? No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. First time I saw that, I laughed so hard. Anyway, so a boarding house, they called it a boarding house. It was a brothel. Mm-hmm. And that was what they were called. Like, that was the winky wink name mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were, it was more prevalent in this time because of World War One, because there was a large influx of military personnel. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of a Instagram post that my friend Heather sent me the other day that was about like, oh, if World War III breaks out, I'm going to start a brothel and be a madam and take care of my ladies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I went back to find that same Instagram to show it to you, Megan, and it was gone. It had been removed.
Really?
So anyway, conditions were terrible. And of course, women got pregnant. And mm-hmm. so, you know, since abortion was not legal, mm-hmm. they had a bartender mm-hmm. named Christian Thomas. They called him Tommy.
Yeah.
He moonlighted as an illegal abortionist.
Which, honestly, that's what I want my doctors to be. Right. Not even a doctor.
Right.
Moonlighting as an abortionist.
Yep.
He looked scary, too.
Well, you know what? This is another thing where I think this was kind of twisted. Because, I mean, the picture that they showed, mm-hmm. yes. And then I found an article about him. Mm-hmm. And the picture in the article, granted, it's an old newspaper article. It's in black and white. But it doesn't look this menacing. Like, it's lighter. It's mm-hmm. not as dark. And his eyes don't look all, like, weird and gouged out.
It does look like a mugshot.
Yeah.
Like, a very, like, pissed off mugshot.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. It sounded to me, all right, let me find the part where I read about, well, first of all, they showed a picture mm-hmm. of his apartment, which is where he did the abortions.
Oh, and my I'm like, God.
It looked so bad. It reminded me of, if you're into true crime, you've seen this for sure. The Jack the Ripper picture of one of his victims laying in the bed. Mm-hmm. It looks like that, only there's no victim mm-hmm. in the bed. Mm-hmm. But it looks like that same kind of room. It was around the same time, I guess, right?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. So he botched a procedure and the woman died.
Yeah.
This woman's name was Virginia Grider. They mm-hmm. show a picture of her. She was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, I found an article that I will link to. It says that they said that her husband drove her to get this abortion. She was not one of the ladies that worked there. Mm-mm. The article says that she was a divorcee. Mm-hmm. This was her ex-husband that drove her there. Mm-hmm. He waited in an all-night restaurant because the procedure was at 2 a.m. She left the procedure. She went and met him afterwards, but she was visibly in shock. He put her in the car and they started to drive home, but then she passed out and they made it two towns away where he, you know, a policeman pulled him over. He pulled on over to a policeman who guided mm-hmm. him to the nearest hospital, and that's where she died. Mm-hmm. They call Tommy a bachelor as well. Mm-hmm. But now I'm getting a whole other feel about him, and I'm wondering if he was like really just trying to do right by the women, because the article said that he was, I thought I put a part of it in here. Oh, I know. I was just going to go look at it.
I mean, I'm sure he was trying to do right by them. I'm not, it's just the picture they chose was an unfortunate picture because it made him look very scary.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, being a bachelor, maybe he was gay and they felt safe with him. I don't know.
Maybe. There was the, in the article, I can't find it. I had the article about him, and I will put that in the show notes too. But it said that during the trial that he explained exactly what happened, exactly how the abortion went, and that he was bewildered that anything went wrong. Like he did not mean nothing, you know, he was not even aware that anything went wrong until she died later. And he, her ex-husband was also arrested.
Well, yeah, because he brought her.
For bringing her there, yeah, probably. Yeah.
I would imagine.
And this was in 1953. So then we see Amy and she talks about a woman who's from the 20s or 30s and she kept seeing a knife. She says, so I don't know if she was stabbed by a knife. And I figured they were going to connect these two, Victoria, with this woman that Amy saw, even though it's, you know, several years apart because this wasn't until the 50s. And the woman kept saying, I was not a whore.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if she got her age and the year confused.
Oh, could be.
Because Amy said she's from the 20s or 30s, but could she have
maybe...
She was
30, so...
She was 30, and that's why I'm like, well, maybe she got the... Yeah. You know, it flipped around, but I don't...
Or maybe that's what she said, and it just came out funny in the recording or something. Who knows? But...
Yeah.
Anyway, it did seem to me like that was her.
Yeah.
You know, with the...
That's what I thought,
not too. Being one of the ladies that worked there. She,
yeah, I'm not a whore. Know,
used a word we don't use anymore, but they certainly used them back then.
Yep.
All right. So then, there was an oyster joke here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because, so Steve found a man named William Crawford. He was found dead right outside the Pine Street Saloon. He's on his way to meet with a local tenant. And I was like, ooh, did he eat oysters during... the day, like for lunch that day, especially by a saloon, because that's where those two law enforcement people were killed by their, wasn't it their old boss who came and killed them?
It was one guy that was murdered by two other guys because they said it was because he ordered oysters for lunch and didn't pay for them.
Yeah. I mean, we all know don't order oysters for lunch, first of all.
First of all, that's weird.
That's a dinner.
Well, and then I don't remember the name of that episode, but then we spoke with Diane, the client. It was the one that was at a tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
One of the ones.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And
we
were talking about that, and Diane said that place was really a saloon. But they sold oysters during the day. But when somebody went to go get oysters, they really were just going to get drunk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so
it was
just like what they said they were doing.
Yeah.
They maybe didn't eat 5 gazillion oysters like we joked that this poor guy did. Mm-hmm. He was probably just shit-faced and then forgot to pay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we talk about William Crawford's case. He was found dead on the back porch, apparently. Dead on the doorstep. And he lived in an upstairs room. He had been staying in an upstairs room. And they think he was trying to climb up there. He was locked out, trying to climb up there and fell, bashed his head and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the guy said, Lieutenant Ty Lewis says, quote, he had a fractured skull on the back of his head, which made me laugh. Like, where else would that
be? Actually, in the front. Yeah. No,
on his knee.
On his knee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Amy sees this guy who's rolling around the floor, crawls up to her. And
I hated this part
so much.
This
is creepy.
I hated it so much.
This is the guy that jumps her. And she goes, oh, he's in me. I can't see him. I can't even think straight. I'm so messed up in my head. And then, I don't think we've ever seen her. Maybe we have seen her get drunk.
We've
jumped,
I feel like,
on camera.
Yeah, I don't know if we have, but it is very, very, very scary.
Yeah, it's
because
creepy.
Her eyes get really wide.
Yep.
And her head tilts and she's.
Yeah.
Like almost like she's not in control of herself.
Uh-huh.
And she's like. It was. Like her and her movements were so robotic, like she was fighting him.
Yeah.
Because.
And Matt says, is he making you move like that? And she said, he can make you move like a doll.
Yes. And then, it was just, thing was so creepy.
It was really creepy. Her eyes were kind of bugged. It looked like she was kind of stretching her neck almost.
Yes.
It was weird.
It looked like she was trying to fight him because she was so robotic.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really bizarre.
I do not like it.
Nope. You did note, Megan, that she had a few times where she... spoke. She like said words that sounded like she was a Canadian. I noticed that too. She said like a boat.
Yeah, she sped oat over the entire oat ceiling.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
And then one more time in the reveal.
Yeah.
She. It sounded like she was Canadian.
Yeah. Did I noticed it too. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order. Hi everyone, Amy here. As you may have heard, since the ad's been running for about 3 weeks now, I have another podcast. It's called Volsteadland, and it's mainly about a Minneapolis mobster from the 1930s called Kid Can. Well, there's a new book out about him right now, and it is so good. And the book is called Minnesota's Most Notorious Mobster, The Making and Breaking of Kid Can by author Ron DeBlew. I'm telling you this because you can get it on Audible if you go to theactivitycontinues.com/audible. You can get a 30-day free trial by using our link there. That's plenty of time to read this amazing book. And when you get the book, check out page 6 in the acknowledgement section and you might just see a name you recognize. Spoiler alert, it's me. Anyway, check it out. If you're interested in true crime and ghosts of the past, you will enjoy this story. Theactivitycontinues.com/audible to start your free trial. And the book is called Minnesota's Most Notorious Mobster, The Making and Breaking of Kid Can. So now we're on the reveal. And they are sitting down to chit chat about the stuff we already said. Mm-hmm. We already talked about how Amy's nails were good.
Yes.
Oh, the lady with the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron connects this to one of the employees who had the knife flying through the air, nearly hitting her. And then they talk about the box that fell. They show Amy the video. She says, wow.
Yeah.
And she says, yes, that this is probably the woman that is moving all this stuff around. Mm-hmm. And that the knife thing is probably her with the knife. And then they pull out the sketch. And
remember when earlier we said that somebody saw her hanging from the ceiling?
Yes, yes. This is like where this comes in.
And Amy was like, remember that? This is why you should remember it.
Yeah. This is it. The sketch. This is a creepy sketch.
It was, oh my God, it looks like the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. It's this old bony skeleton, like the body from like the arms down is like a big stripe, but but the arms and fingers are bony skull-like. Mm-hmm. And then it's definitely a skull face. This is the one who pulled her eyeballs out.
Yep.
And then her hair looks like a scarf.
It does.
I wasn't sure if that's supposed to be her hair or a scarf.
And then fucking Kim is like, whoa, her eyes are creepy. I'm like, her eyes, Kim?
Just her eyes,
her
Kim.
Eyes, the hands and the face and the coming from the ceiling, that's okay. But you're like, ooh, I could get past all of that, but not those the eyes.
That was
Kim.
Funny.
Kim.
And then
some cojones on her. That's
but then she goes, can I flip this? Because she wanted to flip it over because she didn't want to look at it anymore. And Steve goes, you can flip that, hon.
Yeah.
That was cute.
See, he's...
Yeah.
I struggle with him so much because he acts like, especially recently, like he's such a fucking prick. But then you look back and the way that he's interacting with like the kids and women who cry, like he's always...
With the hankies.
With the hankies. I mean, I just struggle so hard with Steve because...
I know.
It's like two different people to me.
I know.
Like I can't wrap my brain around the empathetic person who gives out hankies with the same person who calls people libtards.
Right.
Like it doesn't compute to me.
Right.
Like those are not the same. So, but he is so sweet with the clients and he also calls them on their shit too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he was very, like, he was so sweet to Kim in this episode.
Yeah, he was. So then we talk about the young woman. Amy talks about this woman that died young. Well, she does say, I think she died in the 20s or 30s. She said that again. So that must be
but
what she meant.
But I got that she died young. I think she died in the, but I don't know.
I don't know either. But they do connect it to Virginia.
Yeah.
Who died from the botched abortion. And they show her the picture of the gross room and all this, mm-hmm. and talk about how he was arrested. He pled guilty. He had a sentence of 5 years and he did 5 years.
Also, this is what happens when you ban abortions. They don't stop. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're not stopping.
No.
You have people who are doing it in fucking apartments.
Yeah. With probably rusty tools and...
Yeah. Like in Dirty Dancing, took me a really long time. I watched that movie probably far too young, and I did not understand that she was getting an abortion.
Really?
I didn't know what she was doing. Yeah.
Oh.
I just thought, I don't know. I had no, it took me a very long time to connect the dots that she had an abortion.
Oh.
And it was fucked up.
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
This is where Amy talks about the guy that jumped her, mm-hmm. and he's stuck in his death state, and they determine that that is William Crawford. The mm-hmm. one who fell from trying to climb up to his apartment. Mm-hmm. And Steve says, you know, his teeth caved in and everything that he was mentioning that this man went through. Amy's like, that's what I was experiencing. And she says,
her teeth hurt. Yep. She felt drunk.
Yeah. And so he's like, do you think, does this sound like the guy who jumped you? And she said, yeah, I know it's him.
And I'm like, usually she doesn't say I know.
Mm-hmm.
Usually she's like, yeah, that could be, or I think it might be. So it's, I wonder if she said something off camera or that made her like, I know it's him. Because she doesn't usually say I know.
Right. She's not usually 100% sure.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So on the second floor is where she sees this male with the sadness, something about a horse accident, killed the rider. I think that this has got to be Daniel Blackburn. Mm-hmm. And she... either there was another accident and maybe one of his kids was killed as a rider. I don't know. But there definitely is an accident. He's the one that's grieving. Mm-hmm. His daughter died.
Yeah. At one.
Yeah, 1 year old. And then they show this picture of him. This is Daniel Blackburn. I have another picture of him.
I could not look at this picture when he put him up.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't look at it in the screen. I had to look down at my phone and kind of look out of the corner of my eye until I could see that it wasn't on the screen anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's I was sweet. High, but and I was also very scared because I'd already gone through this whole episode.
Yeah.
But I couldn't look at it. He just looked really scary.
Huh. And I don't think he was scary. I mean, he was, you know, he wanted to get rid of all the people that weren't white. And that's awful.
Right. 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 Right.
Right.
I mean, well, honestly, who? Yeah.
Yeah. So
anyways.
Oh, he was a telepath. She said he was able to really heavily influence people. That
Which is
scary.
Probably why when he jumps you, he mm-hmm. can control you.
Mess with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, they showed the video.
Of the grabbing the butt.
Yep, of the woman getting a ghost.
And then this is really interesting because Amy's like, my concern is, you know, you will be influenced over a long period of times. And then Steve goes, is there any place safe in this building? And she goes, not right now. The living don't stand a chance here.
Yep.
Which is very interesting.
Yep. She said there's something pretty much in every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
So then she goes, let me start with the male in the attic, Mr. Crawford. He wants help. You need a medium who's going to move him on. And then the female, she says, I want to give her a fair shot. Have a female medium come, work her issues out, and then move on. If she doesn't go, then I want you to contact a demonologist. And the mm-hmm. demonologist will do an exorcism. Also, they need a Reiki master. And she made a point to say master, like not mm-hmm. just some schmo who mm-hmm. read a book
about
Reiki.
Who's like, I took a class on Reiki and I can spell it.
Yeah. I can now pronounce it correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about where I am. I did take, or not take, but I did download a Reiki class. But
oh, cool.
I haven't finished it yet. She says, this is very important. They will come. They have to come 2 times per month for 6 months. To remove all that residual energy that's collected upstairs. So that's probably the vacuumer. First one's vacuumer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she says, yep, it'll be really quiet here if all that works. Are you going to take Amy's advice? Steve says, oh, yeah, whatever it takes. And then Kim says she'll come back if they clear everything up. She would love to be there. It's an honor to work here and serve the people. And then we get to the very end. And Ron is searching for a medium and a Reiki master. And the activity continues.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they asked him, you know, 2 weeks after they left, or if this was 2 months, you know, we don't know what happened, but
I mean, this is kind of stereotypical, but in California, I feel like they would have a better shot of finding a Reiki master than like fucking, you know, Des Moines, Iowa.
Right. Right.
Cause they're more, I feel like Californians tend to be more,
a little more woo woo usually.
A little more woo woo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope they're doing okay. I hope this was a really good episode.
Yeah, it was good. It was a spooky one.
Ron did seem like he was going to do, like, he did seem.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this update was just too early and they just hadn't found anybody yet and hadn't had a chance, and that they did afterwards. I did not have a chance to look into it too much to find out, like, who's still working there, who, you know. I will do a little bit, though, and if I find anything good, I will either we'll talk about it next time and we'll hop on and do a little update on that. If I don't find anything, you won't hear anything.
2017 is when it aired, early 2017. So I assume they filmed in 2016.
Right. Right.
So hopefully.
Almost 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
9 years ago. All right. So next week it is AP's turn to pick, and she chose Shop of Horrors. Horrors, not horrors. Which is season 13, episode 5.
That's well, what we got it's next still week. Open. Pine Street is it? Saloon is also known as Skid Row. Every Saturday, there were horse races as entertainment for cattlemen, ranchers, miners, lumber workers, and town folk.
Huh.
There's a whole history page.
All right.
But I don't see anything about the haunting, or it used to be known as the Red Door. In 1980, Pine Street went through a remodeling session, and at that time, the name was changed from the Red Door to what is now known as the Pine Street Saloon. In 2001, the saloon moved next door to its current location at 1234 Pine Street. Oh, wait, there's a section on ghosts. Let's see what that is all about.
Okay.
I click on the history. I click on the ghost portion, and nothing comes up.
Ooh.
But
hey, everyone! As I was editing this episode, I looked at the Pine Street Saloon website that Megan was on while we were doing this, and she was having trouble clicking and seeing things. And so we didn't talk about this. I don't know if it was just her internet or what, but you can see, if you look at my screen, that if you click on ghosts, looky here. Ghost Adventures is a paranormal reality series on Discovery Plus where and his team explore the world's haunted locations. So this group has also been on. This does talk about Ron French is the owner's name. This does talk about the videos that he took. There are more than what we see. So I will give a link to this. There is no mention of the Dead Files whatsoever, only of you know what. So there's that little update for you. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.